good to see all of you this morning. Thank you so much for being here. Certainly glad Tony feels like being with us today. I want you to open your Bibles, please, to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. And I'll be referring to other scriptures in the message, but I want us to get started here in 1 John chapter 1. While you're turning there, let me remind you of a couple of things. If you'll look on the back of our church bulletin, Operation Women at Work, a reminder to the ladies to bring birthday items for missionary Steve Schlechty. Also, please let Sister Ailish know if you plan on visiting Miss Marianne Rogers this month. Our ladies are doing what I believe to be a really good thing now. They're reaching out to our missionaries, reaching out to some of those that are shut in our church or are not able to get out like they once were. And that is a wonderful thing. And I'm very grateful for you ladies that are involved and are doing this and are reaching out. It means a lot to these people. Also, Operation Send a Card, we need people to sign up for the month of April. And the sign-up sheet is located on the bulletin board back near the sound room. So back here, if you'd like to sign up, please do so. And this is an announcement that's not on the bulletin, but on the 25th of this month, the 25th of March, we're going to have what you might call a going-away party, I guess, for Nicole here at the church on the 25th at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That's going to be a Saturday, and it'll be at 2 o'clock. So please keep that in mind and try to be here for that if you're able. All right, is there anything else that I need to mention that I might have forgotten? Anything else? All right, 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 1. We're going to start reading in verse 3, 1 John chapter 1, verse number 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we thank you again for this day and for this opportunity to be here. Thank you, Lord, for those that are present. And Lord, most of all, we want your presence to be here. We want your Holy Spirit to have freedom to move and work in our heart and lives, to do what needs to be done. And I pray, Father, that if there is someone here today that's not saved, that today would be their day of salvation. And I pray, Father, if there's any Christian here that needs to make a decision, that they would make it before they leave. God, give us all ears to hear and hearts to receive the message. Please, Lord, give me liberty and clarity of thought and speech and all that I need that I might say exactly what you want said. Lord, please forgive me for all the ways that I have failed you, all the ways I have sinned against you. I thank you so much for your forgiveness, for your love, your mercy, for all the great grace that you've shown me throughout my life. And Lord, I thank you most of all for dying on the cross for our sins, that we could have eternal life as a free gift. And I pray, Lord, now that you'd have your way, and I ask all this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. The title for the message today is The Conditional Christian Life. The Conditional Christian Life. And I want to begin by making a statement. I want to say that salvation is 100% unconditional. And the reason I make that statement is because according to the Scripture, according to the Bible, not man's opinion, but according to the Bible, salvation, and when I say salvation, I mean getting saved as well as staying saved. That's what I'm referring to. And according to the Bible, salvation is not based in any way on our performance. And what I mean is a person doesn't get saved or stay saved by what they do or don't do. Our getting saved, our staying saved, does not depend on us living out a long laundry list of conditions that the Lord holds us to. That's not what salvation is about according to the Bible. According to the Bible, salvation is by grace through faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So salvation itself is unconditional. And I realize that there are many people who disagree with that belief. And I understand that there are a lot of people who teach to the contrary. There are lots of people who believe we have to earn our salvation. They believe we have to do a lot of good deeds in order to get saved, and then there are those who believe we have to do a lot of good deeds in order to stay saved. They believe that salvation itself is very much conditional, that it depends on our performance, and if we don't live up to a certain standard or meet a certain amount of criteria, then we cannot be saved or we cannot stay saved. That is the way a lot of people believe. And I have had conversations, really more conversations than I cared to have, to be honest with you, with people who have that thought process and believe along those lines. But the thing we have to do is stay with the Bible. Amen? We absolutely have to stay with the Bible. We have to rightly divide the word of truth. We have to allow the Holy Spirit of God to enlighten us and show us the truth. And the truth of the Bible when it comes to salvation is that we don't get saved or stay saved by our performance. It's not what we do. It's what the Lord Jesus Christ has already done for us on Calvary that determines salvation. So salvation itself is unconditional. It's not based upon us meeting any certain criteria as far as how we live or don't live. But let me hasten to say this. Besides salvation, y'all still with me? Besides salvation, everything else, and I mean everything else about a Christian's life is conditional. The only thing that is unconditional, that does not depend on our performance, is salvation. That's it. Beyond salvation, everything else about a Christian's life is conditional. Everything else is determined by what we do or we don't do in our lives. And this is a truth that is, in my opinion, very important and absolutely imperative that we understand. As believers, it's really a simple truth, and it shouldn't be too hard for us to understand, but it is imperative that we realize at every juncture in our Christian life that we must meet certain conditions that are given by the Lord in the Bible in order for us to be successful as Christians. We got to understand that. In fact, I believe that our personal success or failure as individuals, individual believers, hinges on us understanding this one truth right here. If you don't get this, then I don't believe there's any way you'll ever really be what the Lord intends for you to be in your life. So it's important that we all understand this truth about the conditional Christian life, that beyond salvation, everything else is conditional. How it goes for us in our lives as Christians depends on us. It depends on whether or not we do the things that God expects us to do. And I'm going to try to show you this from the Bible. Again, it's real simple, but it's very, very important. I'm going to give you some biblical examples this morning that I believe prove the point that I'm trying to make. We're going to start right here in 1 John chapter 1. And I want you to see from this chapter right here, from 1 John chapter 1, that your fellowship, not your relationship that you get when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, but your fellowship with the Lord as a Christian is conditional. I want you to understand that. I want you to understand from this chapter right here that if you as a believer are going to have fellowship with the Lord, then there are certain conditions you must meet. God has laid that out right here in the Bible. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 3, the Bible says, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you." Notice that ye also may, not that you will, but that you may have fellowship with us. John is writing here and he says, the things we've seen about the Lord Jesus Christ, the things that we've heard about or heard from him, declare we unto you. We're giving you what we've seen, and we're giving you what we've heard, and we're giving this to you so that you may have fellowship with us, so you can share in this fellowship that we enjoy. And this is what he says, "And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ." Before I go any further, I want to say that I do pray all of us understand what a privilege it is that we can have fellowship with our Father and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I really do hope we understand this morning just how blessed we are as believers, that God has made fellowship with him possible. What a wonderful thought. What a blessed thought to know that on a daily basis I can have fellowship with my Father and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful truth to know that I can commune with him, that I can talk with him, that at any moment I can come boldly to the throne of grace and receive mercy and grace to help me in my time of need. What a blessing to know that I can enter into his presence and talk with him, and he can talk with me, that we can walk together in fellowship every day. What a blessing that is possible. But you do understand that even though it's possible, it's not guaranteed that I will have fellowship with the Lord. It's possible, but it's not guaranteed. Because look at what he goes on to say down in verse number 5. He says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." And we've talked before about this light versus darkness thing in the Bible. Light represents that which is pure and holy and good, that which is godly, and darkness represents that which is evil and sinful and dirty and defiling. That's what darkness represents in the Bible. And he says in verse number 5 there that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. There's no darkness in God, none at all, right? That's what it says. Now look at verse number 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, what does it say? We lie and do not the truth. There's no such thing as a believer having fellowship or walking in fellowship with the Lord and living a life of darkness. That's just not the truth. In fact, he says there that if you say that, if you're living in darkness, just walking in darkness, if it is darkness that prevails in your life as a believer, and you say that you have fellowship with him, then the Bible says right there, you're a liar. Isn't that what it says? We lie and do not the truth. So even though I can have fellowship, it doesn't mean that I do have fellowship. It doesn't mean that right now I am in fellowship. It doesn't mean that fellowship is just a given and that I'm going to walk in fellowship with God throughout the entirety of my Christian life. If I have fellowship with Him, then I'm going to have to meet certain conditions in my life. And one of those is I'm going to have to avoid as much darkness as I possibly can. Because I cannot walk in darkness and have fellowship with Him. Look at verse 7 now. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. What is one of the conditions that I must meet in my life if I'm going to have fellowship with my Father? What's one condition? Well, you could call it a number of different things. You could call it consecration. You could call it clean living. You could call it walking in the light. You could call it a whole lot of things. But what he says right here in verses 5, 6, and 7, what he teaches to us is that in order for me to fellowship with the Father, one thing that has to take place is I got to clean my act up. I got to make sure that I walk in light, not in darkness. That is a criteria, a condition that I have to meet as a believer. But now here's reality. Let's deal with reality. Let's not get off in the twilight zone. Let's deal with reality. Nobody on this earth right here walks in the light 100% of the time, right? All of us get off in the darkness from time to time. Matter of fact, on a daily basis, we do things that are sinful. Amen? I mean, let's just be honest. On a daily basis, we have thoughts we shouldn't have. We say things we shouldn't have. Maybe we say more than we ought to say, or at times we don't say as much as we should say. We do things we don't need to do. We have that darkness. So how is it that I can have and maintain fellowship with the Lord if there is darkness at times in my life? How? Well, there's a second condition that has to be met, I believe, in order for me to have fellowship with the Father. Since I'm not perfect and I am going to mess up, then you know what I have to do? I have to do what it says in verse number 9. What does it say in verse 9? If we confess our sins, amen, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. You know how you have fellowship? You do your best to walk in the light. You try your best to walk in the light. God is light and in Him is no darkness at all, and you try your best to live as clean a life as you possibly can. But you understand that there will be times, really on a daily basis, where you don't meet the standard, where you don't live up to the condition of walking in the light. There'll be times every day where you mess up, and that sin is going to hinder your fellowship unless you do what? You confess that sin to God. Here's the thing. I'm going along in a day and I'm having fellowship with the Father. And things seem to be good, but then I hit one of those patches where I make a mess of it. I do that, okay? I make a mess of it. You do too, don't you? Make a mess of it. You realize, you go along there and you realize, man, I shouldn't have said that. Man, I shouldn't have thought that. That just was wrong. That's darkness. That's wicked. I should not have thought that. I should not have done that. Y'all been there? You know what you do there to prevent your fellowship from being messed up? You don't wait till you get home at night. You don't wait till you get back to church next Sunday. If you're walking along, driving along, whatever it is, working, whatever you're doing, and you realize that you've just done something that's darkness and wrong to prevent the fellowship from being interrupted, you immediately in your mind, in your heart, say, Lord, forgive me for that. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have did that. Please, Lord, forgive me. And if you'll meet those conditions, then yes, you can have fellowship with the Father. What a privilege it is. But it's conditioned upon what you do. You have to try to live as clean as you can. And when you mess up, you have to confess that sin, that thing that's darkness, to God and seek His forgiveness. And then you can continue on in your fellowship with the Lord. So we're talking about the conditional Christian life. Go back now, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke. And I want to show you something else here. I'm just trying to give you some illustrations, examples from the Bible that prove this point. Salvation is unconditional. It's not based on my performance. But after that, everything else is determined by what I do or don't do. I have to meet the conditions laid out by the Lord. First of all, we saw that fellowship is conditional. Second of all, I want you to notice with me from Luke chapter 14, and there's several places that we could look, but we're just going to look right here in Luke chapter 14, and notice that discipleship is conditional. Discipleship. And I'm not exactly sure why, but through the years I've noticed that a lot of people get salvation and discipleship messed up. They try to join the two together and make them the same thing. And that's why you get a lot of false teaching today where somebody will stand up and preach or they'll teach and they'll say that if you want to be saved, you got to follow Jesus. Well, folks, that ain't salvation. Salvation is not about you following Jesus. They say if you want to get saved, you got to take up your cross and follow the Lord every day. You know what that is? Now, you just think about that for a minute. If that's salvation, then friends, salvation is not by grace through faith. Salvation is based on what I do or don't do in my life. If I follow him, then I get saved. If I take up my cross, then I get saved. If I do that daily, then I stay saved. That's all works for salvation. So people have got to get this thing straight in their mind. Salvation is you trusting in Jesus Christ and him alone to get you to heaven. That's salvation. Discipleship is something completely different. And just because you're saved, y'all listen to me, just because you're saved doesn't mean you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is something that is conditional. You have to meet certain conditions, certain requirements to be a disciple of the Lord. Look right here in Luke chapter 14 with me. Verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, look at it, he cannot be my disciple. Isn't that what Jesus said? So if I'm going to be a disciple, there's something I got to do here, right? That's what he said. I don't have to do anything to get saved or stay saved. It's not based on me doing right, but to be a disciple, there's some things I got to do. He gives you one right there in verse 26. And I don't have time to go into all that. Obviously, and hopefully you understand when he says there, hate your father, mother, wife, and so forth, he's talking about something other than you actually hating those people in your life, because God doesn't want you to hate your father and mother. Amen. I mean, that's pretty clear. So there's obviously something else going on here. He's talking about us having such a devotion and a commitment to him that it exceeds every other relationship that exists in this world down here. I am to be more devoted to him and more in love with him than I am my husband. My husband. Ooh. My wife. My child. My mother. Y'all understand what I'm saying? To be a disciple, in other words, he's got to be number one in my life. He's got to mean more to me than any other human relationship down here. And he's got to mean more to me than my own self. Because what does he say in the end of that thing? Yea, and his own life also. If I'm going to be a disciple, then he's got to be more important to me than my own self. But now look at it again in verse 27. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Look on down at verse 33. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Discipleship, just like fellowship, is conditional. It's conditioned on what I do or don't do in my life as a believer. So we're talking about this conditional Christian life. Just because you're saved this morning doesn't mean you're a disciple. You may not be a disciple at all. You may be saved. You may be just as saved as anybody in this building or anybody in this world. You may be on your way to heaven. If you drawed your last breath right now, you would be with the Lord Jesus Christ. But that does not mean you are a disciple of the Lord. Conditions have to be met for you to be a disciple. Let me give you some other things to think about, not just fellowship and discipleship, but here's something else that is conditional. It's conditioned upon what we do or don't do. That is our relationships with others. Think about it for a moment. And what I mean is the quality of relationships that we have are determined or is determined by us meeting certain conditions. If I'm going to have the kind of relationship, for example, that I need to have with my wife, is that something that's just automatic and just happens because I'm saved? Is that how that works? I mean, I just get saved and then I don't have to do anything. The Lord just says, all right, you're saved now. You're a perfect husband. And you're going to have the, you heard my mama grunt up here. Did y'all hear that? That's not how that thing works, though, right? The Lord lays down certain criteria, certain conditions that I must meet if I'm going to have the relationship that I am supposed to have with my wife. And listen to me, there are a whole lot of saved people right now who are married, and the truth be told, their relationship's not even close to what God wants it to be. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you automatically going to have a wonderful marriage and everything's going to be great. God has said in His Word that I am to love my wife as Christ loved the church, right? So if I don't meet that condition, then I'm not going to have the kind of relationship I'm supposed to have with my wife. Now let me say this. The Bible says that wives are to submit themselves unto their own husbands as unto the Lord. Isn't that what it says? Y'all didn't mind me preaching about the man loving his wife, did you? Well, I'm going to preach on both sides of it, okay? And I'm going to tell you that God has told every woman in this place that she is responsible to be submissive to her husband as Christ was, as the church is to Christ. Isn't that what it says? And she is to see that she reverence her husband. And listen, you can say, and I've had ladies, you know, these modern day feminists. Boy, it's getting quiet in here. Modern day feminists, you know. I ain't going to submit to no man. Well, you have that right, okay? God will let you, woman. You listen to me? He'll let you not submit to your husband. You will never have the relationship with your husband God wants you to have. You walk around in your pride and your stiff-neckedness and all that other mess, but you will never have the relationship with your husband you're supposed to have if that's the attitude you take. Conditions have to be met. Me and my wife can't have the relationship with our child that we're supposed to have if we don't do what we're supposed to as parents. It's conditioned upon what we do or what we don't do. It's absolutely important. How about our relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you think the Lord wants us to have a good relationship with each other? Yeah. Is that stuff just automatic? No, we're all saved, so we're just going to always treat everybody the way we're supposed to treat them, right? Not on your life, friend. Not on your life. Just because you're saved and on your way to heaven doesn't mean that you'll always treat your brother or sister the way you're supposed to. There's things that you have to do. The Bible teaches that we're to love each other, to forgive each other, to be patient with each other, to be forbearing, to reach out, to show ourselves friendly with one another. The thing that's always amazed me, and you meet these folks all along who are quick to be critical of other folk about how they're unfriendly, and I've even had people make accusations, you know, about our church that we're not friendly and that sort of thing, which I'm just going to tell you, maybe I'm a little biased or whatever. I think that's a bunch of hogwash. I believe we got a real friendly church here. I really do, and I ain't going to apologize to anybody for that. But I remember one particular individual that used to attend our church here, and I'm not going to call any names. But it's amazing. Their criticism was that we weren't friendly. And every Sunday, y'all listen to me? Every Sunday when the choir comes down, what do? We get up and we shake hands and we speak to somebody we haven't spoken to, right? Every Sunday. And this person that was critical about us not being friendly, in the entire time that they were attending this church, not one service, y'all listen to me? Not one service did they ever leave their pew and speak to anybody. But then they had the audacity when they left here to say that we're not a friendly church. No, they weren't a friendly person. You understand? He that has friends must show himself friendly. That's what the Bible says. And I'm amazed these people, they're not friendly, they're rude, they're inconsiderate, but they expect everybody to treat them really nice. No, if you want to have a good relationship with other people, how about you be friendly and reach out to them yourself? See how that thing works? You don't just get this stuff automatic. You have to work on these things. There's conditions that have to be met. That's just the way it is when it comes to fellowship, discipleship, relationship. When it comes to our spiritual growth as believers, that is a conditional thing. That's not an automatic thing. There is no guarantee that when a person gets saved that they will ever develop in their life, their spiritual life, the way God wants them to. Let me give you an illustration of what I'm talking about. Paul goes to the city of Corinth and he leads some people to Christ there. And after he leaves, sometime later on, Paul writes them a letter back. And you can read it for yourself, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You know what he says about those believers there? He says, really, and I'm paraphrasing, he says, really, I'd love to give you some meat from the Word of God. He said, but I can't do that. He said, I can't give that to you because you're still a bunch of babes in Christ. You know what had happened with those believers? They had gotten saved, but they had never matured. They had never grown in their relationship with the Lord. That's not an automatic thing. Just because you're saved doesn't mean that as time goes by, you're going to become more spiritual. Now, that's how it ought to be. But you know how you become more spiritual with time? Let me say this to you. I have met people that have been saved for 40 years. That honestly I would consider to still be a babe in Christ right now. Time going by doesn't mean you becoming more spiritual. There are certain things you've got to do if you want to grow in your life spiritually. How about reading your Bible, for example? How about praying? How about being faithful to church? How about cleaning your act up, getting rid of some junk in your life that doesn't need to be there? There's some things that God holds you responsible for. Yes, you can grow. You can mature. You can become a stronger Christian. But there's some things you're going to have to do. It's conditional. It's not a guarantee. Think about this. Think about revival. Any of you ever need revival? I do. I need revival. Is revival automatic? No. Think of the times, and just here, but other churches as well, but just think of the times that we have meetings here, but we don't have revival. Amen? I mean, let's just be honest about it. There's times when we'll have meetings, and that's all we have. We don't have church-wide revival. There may be some individuals here or there that get some help. I hope there is. But just because you have a series of meetings and you get a guy in here and he preaches the Word of God every single time that he stands in the pulpit and we have good singing and all that stuff, that doesn't mean that in your life you'll have revival. Let me ask you this, 2 Chronicles 7:14, what does that verse say? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways. Wouldn't you say that's conditional? Wouldn't you say? God's not obligated to just reach down in a revival service and give you revival whether you're willing to change or not. He's not obligated, and that's not how God works. Yes, we can have revival meetings, and yes, you can have revival if you need revival, but God expects some things out of you in order for you to have revival. You got to be willing to make some changes if you're going to have revival. In the scripture it says, wilt thou not revive us again? How many of you believe God's willing to revive anybody that wants to be revived? Can he give revival? Yeah, he's got the power. He's more than willing. He doesn't want us just wandering around cold and indifferent. He wants us to have revival. But he puts the conditions out there. If you're willing to do this, you can have it. But if you're not willing to do that, there's no guarantee you're going to have revival. You're not going to have it. How about restoration in your life? How about when a child of God goes off into the far country like the prodigal did and gets away from God? Is God in any way obligated to just reach down where that person is and say, you know, you've wandered away from me. You made the choice. I didn't put you out there in the hog pen. You did that yourself because you're rebellious. But I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm just going to reach down here, and I'm going to pick you up out of the hog pen. I'm going to put you back here with me, and I'm going to clean your life up, and everything's going to be great as if you never left. Is that how God works? No. That ain't how the Lord works. How about the prodigal son? He goes off from the far country, winds up feeding hogs for a living. That's what he does, right? And you know what he has to do in order to be restored to his father? What does he have to do? Let me ask you this. Did his father come out there where he was? No, sir. You know what that fella had to do? He had to come to himself and recognize, I've made a mess out of things here. I'm the one that left my father. I'm the one that's got out in the far country. I have messed up my life. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to get up from where I am and I'm going to go back to where my father is, and we're going to get things straightened out there. You can have restoration if you're away from God, but certain conditions have to be met. You have to be willing to change. This modern day idea, just let go and let God. You know what that says to people? That says, well, I don't have to do anything. I'm just going to kick back and I'm going to let God be in control of everything. Well, I do believe in a sovereign God that's in control, but I also understand, according to the Bible, that this business of just letting go and he'll just do everything that needs to be done in your life, that's not scriptural, friend. You and I have to meet certain conditions in our life to have the kind of relationship with the Lord we need to have. There's so many illustrations. How about your nearness to God? Can I make this statement? I can make this statement, I believe, with the support of the Bible. You are as close to God this morning as you want to be. Y'all believe that? People say, I'm not close to God. Well, let me just say this to you at the risk of hurting your feelings. It ain't his fault. If you're not as close to him as you need to be, it is not the Lord's fault, okay? Because the Bible still says that if you will draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. Isn't that what he says? So there's a condition there, right? I can be real close to God. I can be. He wants me to be close to him. He wants to be close to me. But in order for us to be near to one another, I have to meet the condition of drawing near to God. Every step that I take toward him, you know what he does? He takes a step toward me. When I take a step, he takes a step. Draw near. You're as close to the Lord right now as you choose to be. I'm trying to help you understand, and I'm fixing to be done, that when it comes to your life as a Christian, whatever it is, if it's the need for peace in your life, if it's the need for having the peace of God that passeth all understanding, that is available to you, right? You can have that. But you know what he says? He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. So you need peace? You can have peace this morning. You can have a peace that is beyond anything you can comprehend, but you have to meet the standards, the condition that God lays out in the Bible. How about joy? You need more joy in your life? How many of us need more joy in our life? We could all probably use a little more, amen? What I'm saying to you is that the amount of joy that you have in your life right now is what you have allowed for. If you need more joy, you can have more joy if you're willing to meet the conditions that God's laid out in the Bible. It doesn't matter what you're talking about, whether it's peace, joy, if you need comfort, if you need to be filled with the Spirit, whatever the need is. We're talking about the conditional Christian life. All of this stuff is available. God has made it to where we can have these things, and he wants us to have these things. But the conditions must be met by us. So as we close this morning, I want to ask you something. Where are you right now in your relationship with the Lord? You in fellowship with him? You a disciple? Where are you in your relationships with others? Are things the way they need to be between you and your spouse, your children, brothers and sisters in Christ? How are things going in those areas? How's your peace this morning, your joy? All of these things we've talked about. How are those things this morning? If you don't hear nothing else, just get this. Please understand that if things are not where they need to be, they can be. But you have to be willing to do what God expects out of you for those things to be right. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for letting us be here. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for everything that you've made possible for us in your Son, the Lord Jesus. Thank you that we can have fellowship with you. Thank you, Lord, that we can have good relationships with others, that we can be a disciple, that we can have revival, that we can be restored, that we can experience forgiveness. Thank you for all that is possible for us to have, and I pray that you would help us by your grace to do the things that we need to do so our relationship will be what it needs to be. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you for being here this morning.